time now for Changing Australia. And as a teen, a good sci-fi novel was among Shay Layton's favourite books to read. But as he grew older and life took over, he read less, worked too much, and wasn't very happy. That's probably pretty familiar for some of us. So Shay decided to start a book club with one focused on connecting men in particular and addressing isolation and improving mental health. This group, the Tough Guy Book Club, first met in a pub in Melbourne 14 years ago and has now become an international sensation. It's got more than 180 chapters in Australia and around the world. Shay Layton, welcome to Changing Australia.
Thanks for having me.
Look, books are obviously a huge part of your life, but I want to go right back to the beginning. What was the first story you remember loving?
Oh, I think it's Treasure Island. My first memory in life is my grandmother reading me Treasure Island and just the idea of, you know, possibilities at sea, running away and having adventures.
Oh, amazing. They're the books when you're young that get your mind expanding about this world that you don't know and you might get into. Well, you can lose that a bit as an adult. And I gather it was when you were working in a pub and you decided after a couple of decades that you needed a bit of a wake-up call. Tell me what life was like at that time, just before the start of the Tough Guy Book Club. What led you to decide something needed to change?
Well, mostly I was just unhappy. The idea of kind of taking a moment to think about what you've got in your life and what you want from it and realizing, you know, I hadn't really read a decent book since high school and I didn't have that many friends and I was bored more than a lot of things. I was bored.
That's really interesting. So what made you to think books was the answer to that?
I just remember when you're a teenager, when I was a teenager, it was one of the few things that I just truly loved doing. You know, you seem harmless when people harass teenagers and get in your business a lot, but they leave you alone when you're reading a book because you seem harmless. And so just like the idea of, I didn't know what to speak to other people about. Mostly I would talk about work all the time, you know, all the responsibilities that you collect over the years, talk about work and you talk about the stuff that's going on in the world, but I wasn't talking about any of the interesting things that I can remember having great conversations, staying up all night, sitting on plastic furniture, trying to solve the problems of the world and think about ideas and somewhere along the way, kind of life gets in the way. And I thought maybe stories were a way to see something outside of your field of view, something outside of your room.
So tell me about the first meeting. How did you go about setting it up the first time? How did you get people to come along to talk about books in a pub?
Well, like most book clubs, the first time around, nearly no one came. It was just myself and my friend Tom Scott sitting in a pub in Collingwood. But in time, we put up seven flyers. I remember because I had seven pieces of paper in my house and we got what's called the Collingwood Originals from that, which is the original group of guys that came along. And we put them up in the usual places that we put up flyers for Tough Guy Book Club, bookstores and tattoo parlours and barbershops and boxing gyms.
And how does it work? Tell me how, you know, it's one thing to say I want to have a book club, but how do you go about sitting down, picking a book? How do the conversations happen?
That's a reasonable question because we didn't know either. You know, we're not the kind of book club kind of guys generally. So we'd never been to one and just kind of made it up from whole cloth along the way. We worked out how to do it by sort of trial and error. You know, picking a book, you work out you've got to read the same book or you're talking about different things. and then you know, everyone reads the same book and you ask some questions and you sit down and just kind of catch up on big ideas and rowdy conversations around, you know, or like you could be talking about the World Cup the whole time, or you could be talking about, you know, the nature of revenge because you've just read The Count of Monte Cristo. But just getting together in your local area with people in a public space, you know, one of those third spaces that are so important to our communities, and meeting people that are different to you and having big conversations and finding people who disagree with you and talking with them, and they're in your neighbourhood, so, you know, hearing other ideas from other people than the stuff that you know and you think.
Whole new connections and ideas. And I gather you've banned talking about work. That's not allowed. Are you trying to avoid that falling into the default of talking about work?
100%. Like, you know, all clubs have got a bunch of rules. Our first one is no work talk, which means that we don't leave stuff on the surface level. We can actually get into some interesting conversations.
You're listening to Changing Australia on Radio National Breakfast with me, Melissa Clark, and my guest today is Shay Layton, the founder of the Tough Guy Book Club. Shay, tell me about the name, Tough Guy Book Club. What's a tough guy to you?
I have no idea. I legitimately have no idea. I came up with the name, you know, I was told my entire life when I was growing up that I was meant to be something called tough, but no one seemed to have a really good description of what that thing looks like. And everyone has a different idea in their head. So getting men together to kind of talk about what that idea is, I think is really interesting. But mostly the name came from when I started saying Tough Guy Book Club, people would laugh because I know it sounds like an odd name, but the idea of reading and toughness was so... those two things were so much the opposite of each other that when you put them together, people thought I was being funny, and I'm not being funny. but that idea of like reading and toughness being so separate, somewhere along the way that we kind of decided that you couldn't be tough and be well-read, and I don't know, but I didn't get a vote. That doesn't seem the way to go about things to me.
I agree. It doesn't seem right to me. The more you read, the more you know, the more you're armed. That sounds pretty tough to me.
Entirely.
Now, at the beginning, we were talking about, you know, the story that really captured you when you were growing up, but I gather readings posed some challenges for you along the way. Tell me about how you've approached reading over the years.
Slowly is how I approach reading. Mostly, you know, I liked reading as a teenager, but I found it really difficult. I've always found reading really difficult. I've been in a lot of rooms where they try and work out why I was behind on reading and stuff like that. And I got the crazy dyslexia, so you know it's not something you would usually end up running a big international book club if you're doing that. But it just means that when I read, I have to read slower than other people, and I have to be more intentional about when I'm doing it, how I'm doing it. And I think that was one of the reasons why, you know, it was so easy to stop picking up books because it was hard to do. But, you know, just because something's hard to do doesn't mean it's not the thing you should be doing. And so reading is just something that I have a bit of struggle with, but it doesn't get in the way of, you know, hearing the stories and learning the stories of other people.
I think that's a really good message because we look at the popularity of things like run clubs, and it's not about how fast you go. You don't have to be a high performance elite runner to get some benefits of just getting some fresh air and getting some exercise. And maybe reading's a bit the same. It doesn't matter how fast you read or sometimes even what you read, but just that you're making that time to take it in and then be able to talk about it with new people is you get so much from that without having to worry about how easy or hard it might have been. Hey, what sort of advice would you give to other people who might want to try and embark on something like this themselves?
Embark on reading or starting giant book clubs?
Joining a book club, I was thinking.
Legitimately go and have a chat with your local bookstore, your local indie bookstore. Go down, have a chat with the person behind the counter because they want you to read more, and they're going to find a way to help you do that. They probably run a book club in their area. Or go down to your librarians. Librarians are the best people in the world. Go and ask them where to start. They want to give you advice. It's hard to not get advice about books from librarians.
This is true. They are ready, willing, and able to help on this front.
That's why they're there.
Hey, what are some of the books that have been really successful or prompted some of the most interesting conversations in your book club journeys?
So I always
just
remember
to put you on the spot. Just
yeah,
to put
entirely.
You on the spot,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. I always remember the conversation around Home from Toni Morrison. Mm. Toni Morrison's last and incompleted book, but a book about soldiers returning to the place they're from, and this sort of conversation around where is home and can you return home again and what communities need from people. So that was a really interesting one. Heart is a Lonely Hunter recently, Carson McCullough, about who you are within your community, you know, and can you be a hero to other people, even if you're not intending to be. And then one of my favourites from recently, Cherrywood by Jock Sorong.
It's on my to-read list. I haven't got there yet,
list. It's really very good. I'm speaking about it next month, but it's a remarkable thing about how objects and places can have memory and how we interact with them.
Have you ever had a book that's been a bit of a clanger that just hasn't...
Oh, entirely.
Thought, yeah? What ones just haven't worked?
A lot of the authors are around, and I don't like to, you know, nationally call out their books. But I tell you, like, not everyone agrees about books. And that's one of the great things about a book club. If you go to a book club and everyone's agreeing about the book, then I think you've done something wrong. We don't read great books most of the time. We read interesting books because book clubs are more about conversation than they are about reading in a lot of ways. And so having something that you can disagree about with people in your community is actually a really good thing. I think this, you don't think that. And discussing where those two ideas rub up against each other, I think is what is most interesting about having rowdy conversations in your community.
I really like that distinction. You can get a lot out of books that aren't necessarily listed as the top 101 books you must read for literary purposes, but a book that can engage you in some ways, the way to go.
Entirely. And if you're not, you know, if you're not reading things that are challenging you in some way, I think maybe you need to expand out your list.
Creating this group has clearly made a very big change in your life. What's it taught you about yourself?
I think the thing I get most from Tough Guy Book Club is, well, mostly it's a sense of responsibility, to be quite honest, but also having lots more friends than I used to. I'm one of those people that suffered from, you know, and there's a lot of men out there who would know this, is that it can be hard to make friends after 25. And I think a lot of guys get to an age where they're like, oh yeah, I've got one friend. And like, you know, you should have many, and they should be in your community. And how do you make them after a certain amount of time? Like we talked about clubs and running clubs and stuff. Those are examples of places where we can meet and talk and meet people in our neighborhood and become friends with some of them. This is one of those. And I've been lucky enough to meet lots of great people through this and also work with the 400 volunteers in 9 countries that run our organization. You know, we got a lot of people back here.
Yeah, just briefly, how did you go about expanding beyond Collingwood and going out into the wider world? How did that process unfold?
So our second chapter of our club, we never intended to have more than one. It was just going to be a club in Collingwood. One of our guys had to move back to the USA, and he really liked what we were doing. Was like, oh, can I make a second one, or we'll do it too? And went back to Portland, Oregon, which is where our second chapter opened. And that, like all of our chapters, reads the same book, meets on the first Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. And so it's one big club, not many little clubs. And from there, we've just expanded out through lots through Australia, but all over the world.
Amazing. Making a difference in all parts of the world. Shay Layton, thanks so much for telling me all about Tough Guy Book Club.
Oh, thanks for having me.